so good to see all our church family and our visitors with us this morning, and trust you come seeking a blessing from the Lord. We have a special day to honor our graduates, and we don't want to forget them this morning. But before we get into that, I do have a couple of things. We do want to ask you to remember Brother Ernie and his family in prayers, if you would, as he lost his mother Thursday evening. And they're going to be having a luncheon at Brother Ernie's house after the service on Wednesday. If ladies could help them with that, I know it would be greatly appreciated. They're going to have a lunch meat tray, I think. They'd like to have some sides and desserts if possible. And if any of the ladies would be available, maybe to go and get things set up for them so that after the funeral, they would be able to just come right back and not have to worry about setting a bunch of stuff up. I know that would be appreciated. So if you could help out with that, I know they would appreciate it greatly. And we just send our condolences out to Brother Ernie and his family, and just trust that you lift him up in prayer. And then we got a missionary, a dear friend of ours. We met him a few years ago, Brother R.J. Briones. He and his wife, Shaman, are going to be in the States here in July. They're going to be with us in July. But they're in need of a vehicle for about 3 months. If anyone has an extra vehicle that you're not using, one that just sits for a while or something, or one that you could let them use while they're here, maybe you got a Corvette stuffed away in a garage somewhere, or a street rod that don't get driven much that could use some work. I know they would greatly appreciate it if they could use it. And trust me, the Lord will bless it because it's being used for His purposes. They are two great young people. We got to meet them about 4 years ago, I think it was. And they're coming back to the States. They are Filipino nationals and have planted a church there and have built a beautiful church building. They're still working on it. But God has just truly blessed the ministry there. So if you could help them out, just let me know. I know it would be a great blessing unto them. And today is our graduate Sunday, and we have a few that we want to honor and celebrate this morning in different aspects. Some are high school, some are college. I think most of the ones are all college this year. We got one high schooler, and we're going to recognize him first, and that's Mr. Mark Matthews, Jr. Mark, would you come up? We got something for you. And the next one is Miss Melissa Shrewsbury, and she's unable to be with us since she's in Alaska. She's trying to get her pilot's license, and she's been working hard towards that. But she has graduated from Wilmington University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Environmental Science. And trust me, she's a vegan, she's an environmentalist, and she will tell you about it. Amen. But we love her, appreciate her. And she has had to overcome some difficulties with people, but she keeps pressing forward and persevering. So we're thankful for Melissa, and we will get her card to her mama, who's coming up next. Miss Angela Shrewsbury graduated from Wilmington University with a bachelor's degree in business management, and I'm going to ask Miss Angie to come. And is Joe here? He's not here. He's working. The next one is Joe Simpkin, and Joe is one of the most inquisitive young people I ever run across, and he would ask you things, I mean, constantly about the Bible. Every time a different preacher come, I said, here, go talk to that young guy. And, I mean, he could just ask you 50 million questions. And he's a great blessing to us. We appreciate him. But he's working. He's not here. We'll get this to his mom and dad so they can get it to him. And we just ask you to pray for Joe. He plans to go back for a master's degree. So we just are thankful for that. He's working two jobs now. So He finally caught on to his niche, and he found something that he likes, and God's going to use him greatly, I know. But you pray for Joe, and God just uses him in a special way. And the last one is a very special one to me. It's our granddaughter, Rachel, and we just appreciate her. She's a ray of sunshine, been a blessing to us in our lives, and just watching her grow, watching her achieve what her heart's desire is. And she's graduated from Wesley College with a Bachelor of Science and Nursing degree, and we just are so thankful for that, and know God's going to use her in a great way. You got to hug me.
Okay.
I love you. We got to get a picture, or we'll get in trouble. Amen. So we appreciate all these graduates this morning and ask you to pray for them. Amen. No matter what their age are and what degrees they've got, there are new paths that have been made available to them, and just pray that they'd seek God's leadership and guidance in whichever path God directs them down. Turn in your Bible this morning into Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. And today is one of those days where I'm torn between preaching from two different places. And it's good to be here this morning. We had a great time last Sunday morning with the folks up at New Beginning Baptist Church. And it was great to be able to preach there. Great liberty to preach. Great reception to the Word. And just thank God for that. But there's nothing like being in your home church. Amen. When you're sick and you miss. And I was away 1 week last month. And sick a week, and this happening, that happening, and you know, it's good to be home, and it's good to be back with your own folks. And if you found Psalm number 9, we'd ask you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. I'm going to take our text from one verse this morning, but I'm going to read the first 10 verses. The psalmist says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge to the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace this morning? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning, especially to our graduates, about someone you can depend on, someone you can trust in. And I just trust this morning that you know Christ as your Savior. And if you don't, I encourage you to seek Him out. He says if we seek Him, He can be found. If we desire Him, we will find Him. And He says we can do this when we do it with our whole heart. And He wants to save you. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your all in all. He wants to be everything that you need, everything that you didn't even know you need. He can be if you'll trust Him as your Savior. And if you know Him as your Savior, He wants to be your leader and your guide. And the only way you can do that is turning yourself wholly over to Him, surrendering your life completely unto what His will would be for your life. You know, we come here today to worship God, and the worship means praising and uplifting and glorifying God, giving Him the honor that is due His name. And in verse number 1, the psalmist says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. The only way that we can trust Him, the only way that we can worship Him, the only way that we can serve Him is if we're willing to do it with our whole heart. Amen. It takes everything that we got toward Him to show forth His goodness and His mercies, His grace, and all the marvelous works that He's done in our lives. But if you look down in verse number 10, the Bible says, and they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee, for Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. I want to preach this morning on someone that you can depend on. In this world, there are many who are going to let you down. The psalmist said in one place, if my mother and my father forsake me, but God, You won't. Amen. If all those around me forsake me, God, You won't. There are going to be times in this life when we're going to face persecution, times when we'll face tribulation, times when we'll face circumstances that we weren't prepared for and we weren't ready for, because they hit us unexpectedly, right smack dab in the face. But we find that when we trust in the Lord, we can lean on Him, we can go to Him, and we can find in Him everything that we need to suffice us in the midst of those troubles. He's someone that you can depend upon. If you are searching for the answers of life, you're searching for meaning to life, you're searching for something in life that you haven't been able to find, let me tell you what you're searching for. You're searching for Jesus. Amen. And let me tell you what, you can depend on Him. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He'll save you from your searching. He'll save you from your sin. He'll save you from your despondency. And He'll save you from wanting to understand and your uncertainties and wanting to know and all the things that are troubling you. He will save you from all that. But more than that, He'll be there faithful whenever you seek Him, whenever you need Him, whenever you search for Him. Let me just share some things to you about someone that you can depend on. The psalmist said, and they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. Let me first tell you, they that know Him, seek Him. Amen? They that know Him will seek Him. I want you to know something this morning. There's a lot of people that know about Him. A lot of people say, yeah, I believe in God. That's good that you believe. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's good that you believe. But let me ask you something. Do you know Him? Have you met Him? Have you been introduced to Him as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your God? Is He everything to you that He wants to be? You see, He wants to be the Lord of your whole life. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be the one who brings you up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and sets your feet upon the rock. He wants to be the one that you realize has delivered you from the curse of sin and certain of that curse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He wants to be that gift that God has for you. He wants you to know Him in that way. And if you don't know Him that way this morning, you can by trusting Him as your Savior, by realizing there's nothing that you can do in yourself, realizing you have no hope apart from Jesus. And trusting Him, you can depend on that. But those that have trusted Him and those that know Him, call upon Him. I don't know about you, but I've been in trouble. And I've been in the places where there was no one else to call on but God. Sister Connie looked up about me telling her about us hitting that storm on my ship, and We really thought our ship was sinking. Water was coming in everywhere. We'd snuffed everything out. Our emergency diesels wouldn't start. Nothing was going right. We was in one of the worst storms I'd been in the whole time I was in the service. And it was horrible. And when we lost everything, when everything was going asunder, there was no one else to trust to. I couldn't call on Mama. Mama wasn't there. I couldn't call on Deb. She was nowhere to be found. I wasn't going to do no good to call on the chief petty officer. Because he was in as much fear as I was. There was no need to call on anybody, but praise God, I could call on Jesus. Amen. In the bowels of that ship, where there wasn't nothing but them red emergency battery lights to help you to see to get around, there was nobody else that I could seek out. There was nobody else that I could find, but I found that Jesus was right there when I called upon him. And praise God, he brought peace to my heart, and he brought peace to my life. You know why? Because I already knew him. Amen. I already knew what he could do. I already knew him. I'd already been in problems and situations before, and he'd already been there, and he'd already delivered. He'd already been help when I needed help, and I could seek him out. I could call on him. And the Bible says we don't trust him because of just what he's done, but because of who he is. I didn't know whether we was sinking that night. I didn't know whether we was going to die that night, but I was still willing to call on him and trust him. Amen. We trust him because of who he is. Job says, although thou sayest that thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore, trust thou in him. You know, sometimes we only want to trust God for what we want. We only want to trust God for what we know. We want to trust God in the plans that we have made and the way that we think they should be carried out. And sometimes we don't even see him, and we can't even experience him. Job said he set the Pleiades and Orion in place. He set the world on its pillars, that it exists on whatever holds the world in place. He's the one that has set us there. And he said, he's done all these things, and yet he can pass by me and I not even perceive that he's there if he don't want me to. But guess what? I can still trust him. I can still trust him. Job says it doesn't matter. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? Because I know him. Amen. I know him. I know his thoughts to me. I know his desires for me. I know what it is that he's done for me. He sent his son to die on an old rugged cross so that I wouldn't have to go to a place called hell and suffer for all of eternity. I know him. And because I know him, I trust him for who he is. And how can you not trust the God that loved you enough to send his son to suffer for you? How can you not trust the God that cares enough that even though you don't deserve it? Romans 5 and 8 says, for God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, not because there was something good about us, not because there was something noble about us, not because there was something deserving about us, but because we were sinners, God commended his love toward us and sent his son to die for us. Oh, they that know him, seek him. Because there's no one else. There's no one else that loves you like he does. I love it. Brother Jim sings that song for me every now and then. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. That was written by a man that had been forsaken. His wife had left him. His life was going downhill. Every time he turned around, it looked like something else was going wrong. But he got a hold of that thought one night that no matter what was happening, no matter what was going on, the Lord still loved him, and he penned the words of that song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Hey, man, I want you to know something. No one will ever care for you. No one can care for you. No one can do for you what Jesus has done, because no one loves you like he does. Hey, man. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was facing something that was unexpected. The Moabites had got him a gang up and had come to attack them unprovoked. And the multitude of people that come was more than he could even imagine. More than he could comprehend. I believe the Bible tells us it was over 1 million people that had come against them. The odds were overwhelming. The circumstances were dark and gloomy. The problem seemed insurmountable. But Jehoshaphat did what he knew could be the only solution to the problem. He called on Jesus. Amen. He called on the Lord. And he says there in verse number 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. When you don't know what else to do, seek him. When you don't know what else to do, trust him. When you don't know what else to do, see what it is that he wants to do. You'll be surprised at what he does when you seek him out and you'll trust him. You'll be surprised at what a difference it can make. You know what he told him? He said, you don't have to go down there and even fight. All you got to do is show up. He said, you just show up and you go down there and you sing a little while. He said, now that don't sound like a real good battle plan. It don't have to be to you. It is the God. He told the children of Israel to march around Jericho. That didn't seem like a real good battle plan. Amen. I believe the people, the inhabitants of Jericho, watched these silly Jews march around their city walls. Now, Jericho was a great fortified city. They could say you could drive, I forget how many chariots, something like 12 chariots around side by side around the top of the walls of Jericho. That's how formidable a city this place was. And God said, look, I just want you to go up there, and every day for 7 days, you're going to march around that city. You're going to make one pass around it. You're not going to say nothing. You're not going to do nothing. How you're not going to do anything but just do what I tell you to do. You're going to march around the city. And they marched around the city. He said, now on the seventh day, you're going to go around seven times. And on the seventh pass, when I tell you to shout, you're going to shout. And when you shout, the walls are going to come down. I tell you what, when we work according to God's plan, when we trust him, and we can shout the house down, we can shout the walls down, or we can shout the glory of God down in our life, no matter how formidable the problem seems before us, we can find victory when we trust Jesus. So old Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel, the people of Judah, they went out and they set the battle in array. And Jehoshaphat said, look, the only thing we're going to do is get the singers out here to lead us in some singing, to lead us in some worship. We're going to worship our God and watch what God can do. They called on God and he told them what to do. They did it like God said. And praise God, God gave them the victory. Amen. Amen. They didn't know him, seek him. Why? Well, he's got a record of getting things done. Amen. Why? Because he's got the ability to do what we're unable to do for ourselves. Why? Because he knows what we don't know. Amen. They that trust him, they that know him, they that have been there before are the ones that seek him. Irregardless, they're going to trust him. And you know what else we see here in this verse? We understand as we read this verse and we apply it to our own lives and we apply it to our own circumstances. We know that they that know Him seek Him. And we know the more that we trust Him, the more that we seek Him. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. The more that we trust Him, the more we seek Him. Amen. I used to run maintenance gangs, night maintenance gangs with the railroad on a traveling gang I was on. And I had a few mechanics that worked for me, and then I had watchmen that would come. And we had a gang, there was about 10 of us sometimes, and we'd go out at night and set the watchmen up to watch for trains, make sure we didn't get run over, and we'd get our work done and stuff. And I had a real good gang. It was a real tight gang, real close-knit gang. Everybody was good, and had this fellow bit in one time, and he was there for about 2 or 3 days, and he already bit out, bit another job. And I went to one of the other watchmen and said, "What was the matter with him? He already bit out. He just got here." I thought, you know, he's fitting in pretty good, and I thought he was liking it. He says, "Yeah." He said, "But there was one problem." I said, "What was that?" He said, "You done learn his name." I said, "What's the problem with that?" He said, "I asked him the same thing." He said, "Once they learn your name, that's the only name they know. And every time they want something done, you're the one they wanting to do it." So that's what his deal was. He would just keep bidding jobs. He'd just keep going from gang to gang to gang to gang to gang to gang. But you know what? That's why the more we trust him, the more we seek on him. Amen? The more we trust him, the more we want to call on him. The more we want to depend on him. The more we want to trust him for what's going on in our hearts and in our lives, what the needs are that we're finding met and can only be met in him. Amen? The more I know him, the more I trust him, the more I seek him. Amen? Look at David himself. The first time we're introduced to David, what we see him as he is anointed, and as Saul brings him to play music for him, to calm him when the evil spirit's upon him, we see David there. We see David faithful. But we really get introduced to David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. When he goes up to see how his brothers are doing in the battle, the Philistines are set in array on that side of the Valley of Elah. The Israelites are set on this side. They're hiding in their trenches because on that side, there's a stinking giant that keeps coming out, and he defies the armies of the living God. Anybody ever face any giants in your life? Amen? I face some giants in my life. Some people face giants of addiction. Some face giants of their temper. Amen? Some face giants of just people that you got to deal with. Amen? Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we got giants that may not be anything to anybody else, but it's a giant to me. Amen? But here they've got this giant, and he's out defying God's people. And David sees him, and David says, "Man, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to take care of this. I can deal with this." And his brothers tell him, "Oh man, you just need to go home. You're just up here trying to get some excitement for yourself." And David says, "Is there not a cause?" They take him down to Saul, and they introduce him to the king. And "Man, this kid says he can go whoop that giant." Saul looks at him and says, "Look, that's a man of war since his youth. You're but a kid." He said, "That don't matter. That don't matter." Look at what David said. Look at what David said. In 1737, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." The first time we're introduced to David, David is rehearsing some of the things that God has already done for him in his life. We haven't heard about all these things that happened in David's youth until now. A bear and a lion that had tried to steal a sheep out of his father's flocks, and David had killed them, and David had trusted God, and David knew what God could do in delivering him. And now, as we face another problem, now another obstacle, now there's another giant. Now there's another formidable problem before me. David says it's no problem because I've already trusted God before and I can trust Him again. You see, those who have trusted Him, those that have sought Him out and know Him, I will seek Him out more and more. Why? Because He's able. Because He can. Because He gets the job done. David said that's no problem. In Psalm 31, verses 1 and 14 and 15, David says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." And then in verse 14 and 15, he says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." You know, David is just reiterating what he told Saul back when he first come on the scene, when he first began to be introduced to us in the power and the might of God in a great way. And David is saying, "Lord, I've trusted in you. And Lord, I'm still trusting in you." Amen. When I was a kid, I was trusting in you. When I was a kid, you killed the lion and the bear. When I was a kid, you killed the giant that stood before me. And now I'm older, and now I've got different enemies. Now I've got different problems. Now I'm facing different times. But God, I'm still trusting you. Even when David had grievously sinned, we see that he's still trusting God. He found out that trusting in himself was going to do him no good. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm just going to go with my heart." Don't trust your heart. Amen. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. It's evil above all things. Who can know it? Our heart. We can't trust our heart. We can trust God. We can't depend on our heart to bring us to the right place and to do the right thing. See, David sinned, and David in his heart tried to cover it up. David tried to hide it. David thought in his heart he had taken care of the situation. For those that don't know the story of David's greatest sin, it was that, number one, he was where he shouldn't have been when he shouldn't have been there. His armies were out fighting the battle, and David stayed home. He was on the rooftop in the evening, which, if you know anything about Jewish history, you go back and study it, the rooftop wasn't a place where a man belonged. That's where women and children. That's why they had the parapets around the top of their house. That's where women raised their children. And women done the things that women take care of. And as he's on the top of the house, walking on the roof of his house, he's looking down through the city. On top of the other roofs, he sees a beautiful woman bathing herself on the roof of her house in privacy. And he sends for her and brings her to her. And they commit adultery. She's a married woman. He forces her to commit adultery with him. She commits adultery. She gets pregnant and finds out she's pregnant. She tells him. He sends for her husband. Her husband comes back and he asks how the battle's going. He says, "Oh, we're going down and spend the night with your wife." I see he wanted to fool him into thinking that that child was his, and he wouldn't go. He wouldn't go because the rest of the soldiers were fighting. He was a faithful soldier. He was one of the mighty men that David had, and because he wouldn't do what David wanted to cover up his sin, David sent a message back with him to the general, put him in the hottest part of the battle, and then withdraw from him. In other words, David put a hit out on him. David had Uriah the Hittite murdered and made it look like it happened in battle. And then he took Bathsheba to his wife. A child was born, the child died. And David thought he had it all covered up. David thought he had taken care of it real good. See, that's what our heart does to us sometimes. Our heart sometimes will tell us, man, you've got this covered. You've got this taken care of. But David found out that what his heart was telling him isn't what needed to be done. And in Psalm 51, he goes to God because he realized when old Nathan come and said, "Thou art the man that he needed, Jesus." He needed to go to the Lord because no one else could suffice. There was no one else that he could trust in. And he cries out, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Friend, I want you to know something today. Graduates, I want you to know something. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to make a mess of your life that you never imagined, you never dreamed could be made. Christian friend, let me tell you something. There's times in your life when you'll make a mess out of your life. You'll make a mess out of your testimony for Christ. You'll think that nothing can restore it, nothing can repair it. Let me tell you, that's when you need to seek Him out even more. Amen. See, those that know Him seek Him. And those that learn to trust Him seek Him even more. All through David's life, all through David's circumstances, we can see that David is trusting God. And David is seeking God out. Oh, you read many of the Psalms that David has written, that he penned, and you find that they come in the midst of difficulties in his life, and he's declaring his trust for God. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's trusting the Lord. He's trusting the Lord for his provision. He's trusting the Lord for his leadership. He's trusting the Lord for his peace. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's even trusting God with his eternal state. When I go through that valley of the shadow of death, I'm still trusting Him. Let me tell you what, the doctor, you don't have no promise of tomorrow. Calvin's niece, 16 years old. She was 16 or 17 when Jennifer. 18. I didn't think she was that old yet. I thought she was still young. When Jennifer was killed in a car accident, she was 18 years old. But she trusted Jesus as her Savior. I'm sure there were things in her life at that time she wished would have been a lot different. But she trusted Jesus as her Savior. "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." When I met the Davis family, it was one of the greatest tragedies I'd ever dealt with. One of the most heartbreaking situations that ever was. Little 5-year-old boy burned up in a house fire. One of the saddest funerals I ever preached. And when his mama was in California when it happened, and the news had came, her and her husband went to California, were visiting family out there. The first thing they'd done was put her on medication to drug her up. And she went through the whole funeral service. You could tell she was just medicated to the hilt. She wasn't even there. She was there in body, but she wasn't there in mind or spirit. Seen Luana a year or so later in Christiana Hospital. Walked by a room and I heard somebody holler, "Pastor Dennis!" Stopped and turned around and went back in. She says, "It's me, Luana. Come back here." She says, "I got something I need to tell you." She says, "I finally got to grieve for my baby." She said, "They put me on them pills when it first happened, and I stayed on them pills until One day I realized that them pills weren't doing me any good. I had never dealt with this tragedy. I had never dealt with what was facing me. I had never dealt with this death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When she realized that her little baby was safe at home with Jesus, it brought the peace that none of those pills could bring. It brought the peace that nothing in this world could offer. Friend, I can tell you story after story of young person after young person that departed this life. Young person after young person who had faced insurmountable obstacles but yet had trusted the Lord and found peace and found that the more that they knew Him and the more that they had seen what He'd done, the more they could trust Him. David declares at the end of the 23rd Psalm, I can trust Him because I know what He's got prepared for me. We sang that song this morning, don't that make you want to go? A little bit as she's singing, she's telling all these things that heaven has to offer. All these treasures and all these blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. And all we've got to do is trust Him as our Savior to be a partaker of it all. David says, yeah, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Everything that he needed was fulfilled in Jesus. They that know him seek him, and the more they trust him, the more they seek him. And they that seek him shall not, will not, and cannot be forsaken. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Over in Hebrews chapter number 13, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content. Don't worry about what someone else. Maybe this is the answer to what we was talking about there in Sunday school, Brother Joe. We can look at others and say, man, I wish I could have that. Lord, I wish I could have that healing. Lord, I wish I could have that job. Lord, I wish I could have that house. And Lord, I wish I could have this. And Lord, I wish I could have that. But be content. You've got more. If you're in America, you're among the top 3% of the people in this world that have. I don't care. If you got change in your pocket, just change in your pocket. I'm not talking about a dollar bill. I'm not talking about a 5, 10, or a 20. I'm talking about nothing but change in your pocket. You're among the top 5% of people with wealth in this world. Did you know that? And yet we always look around wanting more. We always look around wanting something else. Marriages are falling apart. Well, if I had a better husband, if I had a better wife. Families are shattered if I had better kids, if I had better parents. Our church would be better if we had a better pastor, we had better preaching. We could look at it in any aspect. Be content with what you have and pray for what you have. Amen? Use what God has given you. He's not forsaken you, and He won't forsake you. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you, but we need to learn to be content wherever it is that He places us. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time in prison. He spent a lot of time recovering from the beatings that he had taken. He spent a lot of times shipwrecked and in places where it was inhospitable. And he said, in whatever state I found myself, I've learned therein to be content. Be satisfied with Jesus. Be satisfied with where He puts you. Be satisfied with what He gives you. Because there's always somebody else in a worse circumstance than you are. God hasn't forsaken you just because, I tell you what, sometimes Garth Brooks sung a song years ago, I thank God for unanswered prayer. I want to tell you sometimes, I'm thankful God didn't answer some of my prayers. Amen. I'm thankful I didn't get some of the things I wanted. Can you get an amen? Amen. You know what I'm talking about? We want something, and then later on down the road, we look and say, whoa, thank you, Jesus, you didn't give me that. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't get that. John 16:33. Jesus said, behold, I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. For in this world ye shall have tribulation. Shall means it's going to happen. Shall means it's coming to each one of us. In this world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Just because you're going through a problem doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. Just because you're facing a situation doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. Amen. He never took the Hebrew children out of the furnace. Amen. But when old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he said, didn't we throw three men in? He said, behold, I see four men walking around unhurt, loosed. Amen. Jesus was in there with them. He didn't keep the disciples from the storm. When they thought the boat was going to sink, they went to the rear of the ship and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He said, oh, ye a little faith. And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the wave. He was in the storm with them. When Paul was on his way to Rome and they come across that great Mediterranean hurricane, the Euroclydon, that storm that destroyed the ship that he was on. He stood and he told them, said, sirs, be of good cheer. There shall no hurt come to anyone on no loss of life, but of the ship only, is what he said. He said, for the angel of the Lord, whose I am, stood by me this night. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that he's not there with you. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that he's forsaken you. Sometimes he's right there with you. And he's bringing that peace that passes all understanding. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, all that my Father give me are mine. And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Call on him for salvation. He'll save your soul. Call on him for forgiveness. You'll find forgiveness. Call on him in the day of trouble and see if he won't answer and see if he won't bring peace to your heart and your life. Call upon him no matter what it is that you're dealing with. And find out that he never forsakes and he never forgets you. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's nothing he can't do. There's no reason not to trust him. No reason not to seek him. I've heard people say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. The Bible says he saves to the uttermost. Pastor, you don't know what sin I've committed. How I've destroyed the testimony of Christ in my life. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I don't know if you don't know the Lord, it'd be a good time to come and let us introduce you. No doubt he's already introducing his heart, self to your heart right now. He's already speaking to your life. It's that still small voice inside. It's that thing that you don't understand that's transpiring in your life. Maybe you're here and you're saved and you're in a backslidden condition. Your heart and your life is far away from God. And he's speaking to you this morning. If you know him, seek him. If you trusted him for your salvation, won't you trust him for your forgiveness? Trust him to make a difference. If you trust him, he won't forsake you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're facing something that you never dreamed that you'd ever have to face. And you feel like you're in it all alone. Just remember, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. As Brother Jim and Sister Mary get